This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and I'm delighted to be with you today. We certainly do love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and to your faith. Always looking forward to hearing from you right here on EWTN Radio, brought to you by so many marvelous affiliates, ways in which we would never be able to understand hundreds of years ago. We are now able to communicate the Word of God all of the time through the airwaves, and what a beautiful way to use them. And so we thank and we praise our Lord for this opportunity to come together as the mystical body of Christ. We've been hearing here at EWTN from so many individuals throughout the United States and beyond how grateful they are for the programming that's been broadcast through EWTN Radio and EWTN Television, the devotions, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the reassurance that is being heard and received by them via these airwaves. Just a marvelous testimony to the fact that our God is greater than all things. And we simply need to lean into that reality. And I'm going to share with you a little bit about that in just a moment, but I sure do want to invite you to give us a call here. It's toll-free for you right here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. I ask you to give us a call early on. Don't wait until we're too deep into the program, because, well, it troubles my little heart when we can't get to all of you at the end of the show, because you've called in very close to the time when we're off the air. So do pick up the phone, give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. If you are a first-time caller, I will ring my first-time caller bell for you to welcome you to our broadcast. For those of you that are out in social media land, you can join us too, and I'm going to tell you how you do that. You do that by simply going to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature there. Register your questions, comments, insights, inspirations, words of encouragement in there, and golly gee whiz, we're going to be together right here on the air today. We sure are, and I'm looking forward to that. We're also available to you via the EWTN app. Go to the live stream, select radio, and you can, you know, take a beautiful walk with the appropriate social distancing put in place and listen to us as you do that. I love to do that when I take my walk. A good way for you to be able to use the resources that are there for you. I do want to remind you that we've always got good stuff going on, and we're going to be talking about some good stuff coming up, but get out to womenofgrace.com and see what's going on. I just have a few words I want to share with you right now. I'm excited. Just to share this. You know, I love the Psalms, and I've been encouraging you to read the Psalms. When we go through a time of misery, when we go through a time of travail, when it seems as though the world doesn't make sense and we don't make sense in the midst of it all, the Psalms give us the guidance that we need, the reassurance that we need, and every emotional issue that we could be facing or an emotional response we're giving to that issue can be found in the Psalms. And today, in morning prayer, golly, this is a good one. It's Psalm 77, and it's recalling God's works. That's the title that's been given to it here in my volume of Liturgy of the Hours. It's Psalm 77, and one of the things that I love about the psalmist is that he starts off with the travail, with the misery, but he ends up praising the Lord. And you see, our God is a big old God up there. Yes, he is. And this God has big, broad shoulders. And you can share everything with him from the heart. And I want to encourage you to do that. If you feel downtrodden, if you feel depressed, if you feel as though everything is just smacking you in the face, if this coronavirus, COVID-19, you know, has you just distraught and nearing despair, then you just tell the Lord, I'm distraught. I'm nearing despair. This is a mess. I don't like it. But just make sure that after you get all of that off of your chest, you turn to praise. Then you're going to be very much like the psalmist. David is always the one who is given the credit for the majority of the Psalms here. And here is one that I think really is great for today. And of course, we're in Holy Week, and it's appropriate the Psalm is read all of the time. Holy Week, that isn't the point. The point is it's so, so meaningful for this moment. And this is what the psalmist writes. He says, I cry aloud to God. Cry aloud to God that he may hear me. In the day of my distress, I sought the Lord. My hands were raised at night without ceasing. My soul refused to be consoled. I'm thinking some of you are experiencing precisely what the psalmist is writing about and singing here. He says, I remembered my God and I groaned. I pondered and my spirit fainted. You withheld sleep from my eyes. I was troubled. I could not speak. I thought of the days of long ago and remembered the years long past. At night I mused within my heart. I pondered and my spirit questioned. It's okay to question. Like, what is this really all about, Lord? Why? What is going on? And then the psalmist cries out, will the Lord reject us forever? Will he show us his favor no more? Has his love vanished forever? Has his promise come to an end? It can sure feel like that right now. Does God forget his mercy or in anger withhold his compassion? And then the psalmist makes a turn. He says, I said, this is what causes my grief, that the way of the Most High has changed. I remember the deeds of the Lord. I remember your wonders of old. I muse on all your works and ponder your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is great as our God? You are the God who works wonders. Do you see what he's doing? He's going back and he's remembering the past times when God was manifested in so many ways in his life, when God was revealing himself to the psalmist, and he draws courage and he draws strength from this. And he goes on, he says, you showed your power among the peoples. Your strong arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and trembled. The depths were moved with terror. The clouds poured down rain. The skies sent forth their voice. Your arrows flashed to and fro. Your thunder rolled round the sky. Your flashes lighted up the world. The earth was moved and trembled when you led through the sea, your path through the mighty waters, and no one saw your footprints. You guided your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Praise be to God. The psalmist revives himself by remembering the wonders of the Lord. The psalmist revives himself by praising God. The psalmist cries out to the Lord, and then the Spirit comes upon him, and he recollects the ways of God. God is always with us, my friend. He never abandons us. He never leaves us orphaned. He never forsakes his people. He has not forsaken you. He will not forsake you. And yes, it is true that we will all meet death someday by way of the temporal existence that we lead in this broken and fallen world. But death does not have the last word. There is no sting in death, writes the Apostle Paul. And so it is for us as well. God will make a way through the waters that have besieged us now. God will lead us through, and we will experience once again the divine and holy favors of the Lord. We simply must remain steadfast, trusting in him, crying out to him, naming our distress, but coming back around and saying, Lord, your ways are wonderful, and I praise and proclaim your name on high. Marvelous are your deeds, O Lord, and you are my respite. You are my refuge. Amen. We're going to be right back with you. It is Wacky Wednesday. Sue Brinkman is here. We've got callers. We're happy you're with us. 833-288-EWTN. Stay with us.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. I am very happy to be with you today. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'll tell you what, praising the Lord really does it for me. I hope it does it for you too. Try it. You might like it. Remember that old commercial? Try it. You might like it. It's better than a pop, pop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. All of that being said, we're happy to be with you today. Going to give you a number that you can use to call us right here on Women of Grace Live. 833-288-EWTN. It's toll free for you right here in North America. That's 833-288-3255. 3986, inviting you to pick up the phone and to give us a call. We also invite you to call us if you're outside of North America. That number is country code 1-205-271-2985, country code 1-205-271-2985. So I do invite you to give us a buzzeroo here. It is Wednesday. Sue Brinkman is with us. We've got lots of callers here, Sue, more coming in. We certainly do invite everybody to call us today. We're going to get to your questions in just a minute. So I'm going to ask you in this Lenten season, exercise a little patience with us. But welcome, Sue. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. And how are you doing down there in beautiful Alabama?
Well, actually, I'm in beautiful Florida right now.
Oh.
But, yeah, and it happens to be quite a lovely day here. It really is. It's slightly, you know, there's a little bit of cloud cover, but mostly sunshine, and it's going to be 82 today. And, you know, I got up this morning, and the birds were tweeting, and I love our Florida birds. And so I had a beautiful prayer time out on the lanai, which was a lovely thing to do.
Yes, what a perfect start to the day.
It is. And how are things for you up there in Philadelphia area?
Well, pretty good. We're all kind of hunkered down because we're apparently becoming the next hot spot. Philadelphia has a lot of rising cases, so we are, you know, just being very prayerful and hopeful and putting all our trust in God right now that He will bring us through this. I think we will come through it.
Yes.
It's just a matter of time.
Well, that's exactly right.
We just have to be patient.
Yeah, you know, and I shared on Facebook today, you know, I'm a fan of Father Mark Goring. I've had the real pleasure and blessing to be with him at different functions and events where we were both speakers. And he's really a good man of God, I believe. And he had a lovely little podcast out there. He gives these daily podcasts. And today it was about saints who experienced their own lockdown and how profitable it was for them in their spiritual lives. And I think that God is offering us that opportunity. You know, God doesn't cause these things to happen, but they do happen by way of the broken and fallen world in which we live. But God does work great good out of all things. And I think that He wants to work a very great good out of this in our lives, you know? And we just have to be open and receptive to that. Yes, it can be suffering, but all good things come by way of the cross. And of course, here we are just about to enter into the Triduum, and we should keep that in the forefront of our minds and hearts, I think, right?
Yes, it's a very, very special Triduum for us this year because of all the suffering that we've had. It should be bringing us closer to our suffering, Lord. And really be able to, he was in prison. Think of him during our lockdown. Think of him, you know, that night. I always, it gives me the chills. That night that he spent in that cellar that was like kind of carved out of the earth and just sat in there freezing cold, already pretty beaten up, a mess, and nobody there in a dark hole. And I think to myself, wow, what are we complaining about?
I know.
What are we complaining about? You know, we're in our house. It's comfortable. We have our electricity. Thank the good Lord. We have running water. We have food. So, you know, we have probably tons and tons of toilet paper. That seems to be what everybody has these days is toilet paper because it's not in the stores. But so true, isn't it? But, you know, we have so much, and we have also this opportunity. Of course, I'm a Carmelite, so I like the solitude. I'm just admitting that on the air here. I kind of like the solitude, and, you know, what a perfect time to beef up on your prayer life, to read some of those books that you've, you know, been stacked up next to your bed that you've been wanting to read. This is the perfect time. Make the best of what we have during this time, rather than sitting there looking at what we don't have.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. Well, I know that we've got a good topic lined up, but I do want to get to some of these phone lines because we are eager to hear from people out there. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And I think Christine might lead us into our topic. She is with us via Rochester, New York today. Station of the Cross is the way she's joining us. And Christine, there's your first-time caller bell, welcoming you for your first call to Women of Grace Live. We hope it's not your last. How are you today?
Oh, okay, Jenna. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm a little bit nervous. And hi, Suzanne. First, I'd like to thank you. You're so inspirational always and uplifting, you know, to all of us especially. I wish I could tell the world to listen to you and Suzanne as well. What I'd like to know, I've always wondered since hearing like about Mother Angelica's mystic from when she was younger. How do we determine which mystics, because people can claim they are one, how do we determine the church that they were true mystics? And the same goes for the people. So increasingly, I meet, say, they receive messages. I was just wondering, how do we differentiate for that?
Go ahead, Sue. What do you say?
The church really is the final arbiter in that affair, and they really do take care of that, and they judge whether or not they think something is supernatural or whether or not it isn't. They are really the ones that do that. Right now, you're right, Christine. You're on the same Holy Spirit wavelength with us today because we wanted to discuss this today. Seers are coming out now and saying that they have messages, or Catholics, you know, saying they have messages about the end of times, about the coming warning, and the illumination of conscience, about all of this stuff that they say that they're getting from heaven. And we need to be very careful about this because, you know, Jesus tells us in Matthew 24:26 that only the Father knows the day and the hour. We really don't know. And, you know, we've been living in the end of days since Jesus ascended to heaven. This is just how it is. And I think really the core of what Jesus wants to teach us about the end times is that we have to go deeper than this human tendency that we have to want to know the future, right? Mm-hmm. Michael D. O'Brien, he wrote a really great article. It's on Catholic culture. Is this the end of time? And he calls this kind of what we're doing here by saying, yeah, well, you got these messages, you know, and the kingdom's about to come and all that. It's kind of like a baptized fortune-telling, you know? And it's, we really don't need that. And what Jesus is trying to tell us is that what's really important is not this horizontal view of things, what's going on, you know, in the world and that. Because if we do at a time like this, we risk becoming like Lot's wife. You know what? She couldn't keep her eyes off what was happening on the earth rather than looking up to God. And when the warning comes, it doesn't matter as much as when our warning comes, which is going to be at the time of our death. Are we really prepared for that? Are we prepared for it? And one of the theologians at Notre Dame, Ulrich Lehner, he said that he thinks that some of these doomsday prophets that are really becoming very prevalent on the internet, you just see them everywhere, and they have very slick websites. Everything looks very beautiful. They're very convincing. He thinks, you know, some of them, he says, why do they think they know more than the angels around God's throne? And they kind of can create this mass panic. And there's also, he said, a certain amount of pride there. And mm-hmm. kind of this self-confidence that, hey, I have some special insight into things. And we got to be careful that we're not trying to, place our faith in this insider information, because we can then save ourselves, right?
Yeah.
We want to be very careful that we're not doing that.
And I just want to interject, if I could, Sue. You know, Sue is right on there, Christine, with what she's sharing with you. So what do we do? Well, this is what we do. We embrace, to the extent that we want to, those private revelations that the church has approved, and we don't go searching for, you know, messages in our own personal time of prayer, because the evil one will come in there and he will convince us of things that are not true. Now, I want to make a distinction between, you know, particular kind of a gift that leads to what we call a locution, which is an interior voice in our heart that's speaking to us, versus the kind of voice that we should hear in our Christian prayer as our prayer progresses and develops. Now, God does want to communicate with his people, and he will. He will bring to our mind certain memories that he wants to heal. He'll bring to our mind and use our imagination, if you will, to help us to enter into Scripture. We'll be reading a passage from Sacred Scripture, or maybe, as I was doing this morning, the Liturgy the hours and just, you know, praising and thanking God for the words of the psalmist. And some of them spoke to me in a very special way. That is God speaking to me. And then to sit quietly with that and to ponder that with listening ears, listening interiorly as to what the Lord is saying is meant to be a common reality in the life of an individual who praise to God. So there's nothing special about that. That's to be an ordinary experience for us. These other gifts, however, are gifts that are generally given by God to be proclaimed as messages. And these we need for the church to pronounce on. So we don't want to be running here and there. You remember what it says in Sacred Scripture. Jesus does tell us, read the signs of the times. But he says, you know, in the end of times, they will say, he is here, he is there, he is there, he is. And he's talking about all of the false prophets. We don't want to be misled. So we stick very close to the heart of Holy Mother Church because a mother will never mislead her children. Or a good mother will never mislead her children. And our blessed our blessed church is the best mother, right? Best mother that we have. So she will not lead her children astray. So all of that to say that, you know, good advice from Sue today. And I thank you very, very much for your call today. And call again. We enjoyed having you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. That really explains it. Thank you.
I'm glad.
God bless you.
You too. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Let's go to Margaret. She is in Brooktondale, New York. EWTN.com is the way she's with us. She, too, is a first-time caller. And there is our first-time caller bell for you, Margaret. Welcome.
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much for your show.
You're welcome.
And thank you for your discussion about reading the Psalms. They are such a gift. I called this morning because, when I spoke to the person who initially takes the phone calls, we talked a little bit about the instinct to nurture as mm-hmm. part of women's consciousness. And I know that people are getting very creative and worried about missing the sacraments. You know, one thought that I had was perhaps Eucharistic ministers could distribute communion, you know, drive-through fashion on Easter Sunday after people watch Mass. I'm just wondering if there are any thoughts out there about possibilities like that. I do feel that the loss or the missing in action of the sacraments, the material gifts that God gives us. I'm wondering if you have some thoughts about that.
Well, I have a comment, and Sue will respond to you, and I will too. But first of all, Margaret, you know, it's good that you are missing the sacraments. That's a very good sign, and it shows the fervency of your love for God and your desire to be united with Him. And I would be worried if we weren't missing the sacraments right now. We would need to take a little critical examination of conscience and say, what is the matter with me? So I'm glad that you're missing them, and I think there have been lots of creative ways in which priests have strived to make available to their parishioners what it is that they can do in light of the safety precautions that are important to take. And we've heard of these drive-by confessions. We've had priests that have walked through neighborhoods with the Blessed Sacrament. We've had priests that have climbed up onto big hills to lift Jesus high there to pray over their flock. We've heard of churches that remain open, allowing no more than 10 people in at a time, sitting at a great distance from each other so that they could spend some time in Eucharistic adoration, either with Jesus exposed or reposed. You know, I think that there is a lot of that, but there is a part for women to play because, as you and Ryan were discussing, his name is Ryan, what you and Ryan were discussing is that women have a natural tendency to nurture through this time. And so, Sue, let's speak to that for a moment.
Oh, yes, we can. We definitely can nurture through this time because think about Jesus and imitate Jesus in that nurturing because we know his generosity, his tremendous generosity, and there's no way, and this is what I've been telling myself since the moment I learned that I can no longer receive our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, he is going to prepare special graces for people. There have been those throughout time, throughout the history of our church, who for one reason or another were unable to receive the Eucharist, and I don't believe that they were in any way neglected by the Lord, that they lost anything. I believe that he helps you and he makes up for it in other ways, gives you special graces to carry you through that time because he is so generous. That's why I say that, and I so firmly believe it, that he's not going to leave us as orphans during this time. He is going to help us. Now, my church does allow us to go in up to a certain, you have to sit far apart, and it's also certain hours of the day that it's open, but we still can come and sit before the Blessed Sacrament. And I tell you, my hope is that not only are we, that is it good to miss the sacrament, as Jeanette so correctly said, but boy, I hope it helps us to appreciate him more when
yes.
these days, these dark times are over and we are able to receive him again, that we are going to sit there with him for that whole 15 minutes. You know how so often we jump up and run out of church, you know, and, you know, really, really realize what we've lost right now in this time, what we cannot receive him, especially tough on Easter Sunday. That's
yes.
such a big day for everybody and to go to Mass. And I just think that, remember that, Margaret, that Jesus, he's taking care of you in a special way. He's not going to leave you as an orphan right now. He's going to help you. One way or another, he will make up for the fact that you can't receive him the Eucharist. That spiritual communion right now is the most powerful thing you can do, is your spiritual communion. That will keep you connected to him. Jesus,
that's
never
right.
let us be parted. That's how that ends. Never let us be parted. Jesus is, you know, he has that feminine aspect to him in his nurturing. Look at how he nurtures us, and put your faith and trust in the way Jesus would nurture you. How would you nurture someone if you were him at a time like this? Wouldn't you do that? Try to make up to them as best as possible for what they could not have? I think you would. I'm sure that you
absolutely.
Would.
Absolutely. And I not long ago, we had a webinar through our womenofgrace.com website, and Father Mitch Pacwa was with us, and he said that, you know, Jesus is greater than the efficacy of the sacrament remains. And in these moments, we receive the graces that we would have received had we been able to receive him if we unite ourselves to him. And that spiritual communion is a great way. And we as women, as spiritual mothers, can help to encourage others through our prayer and through direct communication with them via phone or, you know, through email or whatever way, to try to encourage them to remain steadfast during this time. We're going to be right back. More coming to you on Women of Grace Live today. It's 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Sue Brinkman with us. Stay tuned.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Jeanette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Jeanette Williams. We're delighted to be with you today. We've got Sue Brinkman in the house. We certainly do. Sue is with us, and she's going to be sharing with you today when you give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. Also available to you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page, use the chat feature. Put your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement in there. We'll get it up on the board, and we'll be able to chit-chat with you. Text EWTN to 55000. And if you're out of North America, here's your number, 1-205-271-2985. Looking forward to hearing from you. Ryan Penny on the phones. Jeff Burson producing, also our social media manager. Again, that toll-free number in North America, 833-288-EWTN. We have Thea with us. She is in Davie, Florida. Good morning, Thea. How are you?
Good morning, Mom. I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. This is my daughter, everybody.
Hi, Sue. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. I just figured out now that it was you. I was looking at it, and I just didn't put two and two together.
Well, and I just, by way of introduction, because I talk about my grandchildren a lot on the air here. So Thea's the mom in Davie, Florida, that has the seven children, two sets of twin boys in the mix. So the fact that she can even be with
us this
morning is amazing.
Well, I had to sneak away because there was something that was on my mind since my oldest child, my daughter Julia, who's 15, she's in high school. She had come home probably last week, and she's in PE class this semester at her school. It's a public technical school down here in South Florida. And she had asked me about breathing techniques. And in her PE class, they were doing breathing techniques. She's like, Mom, I'm just not so sure about this. And Julia has pretty keen discernment when it comes to things like that, you know. they're virtually doing school right now, so they're virtually doing PE class. And just 2 days ago, she said, hey, Mom, I'm not sure about this. You know, it's like yoga fit. And I was like, nope, we're not going to do that. She's like, I didn't think so. But prior to that, she had come home and asked me about breathing techniques, and she's like, I don't know, it just seemed odd. And it brought to mind the question, you know, that they're doing this with these high schoolers to bring them, like, to a calm, to a sense of peace. You know, what are these things? Are they okay, these mental ways that people are trying to reduce stress through breathing techniques and all kinds of other things that you're just like, I'm not so sure if that's okay?
That's a great question. That's a super question, Thea. You know, there are breathing exercises that are just fine. You know, the American Lung Association really espouses the diaphragmatic breathing, and that's, you know, where you, that's the thing where you put your hands on your stomach and you want to breathe out through your mouth at least 2 to 3 times longer as you inhale, and that helps you to get more oxygen into your body. It's also called belly breathing. We have that. There's pursed lip breathing. That's okay to do that sort of thing. But it sounds to me as if what your daughter might be, because it's upsetting her, it might be the type of Eastern breathing meditation that's going on here now. It's not just a breathing exercise. It's actually meditation. And what you do is you focus everything on that breathing, on the feel of the breath coming through your nose, on the feeling of your breath, you know, and your chest rising and falling. You become very, very hyper-focused on that. And what happens when you're doing this kind of focusing on the breathing is you eventually put yourself into an altered state. And an altered state, as we mm-hmm. know in the Eastern practices in Hindu and Buddhism, that's designed, you know, to bring you to enlightenment about yourself. So, yeah, they do it a lot in schools. They shouldn't be doing it because it is connected to Eastern religions, and some places they're getting in a lot of trouble because they're doing that with mindfulness, because that's what mindfulness does. People like to say that mindfulness, oh, it's just, you know, focusing on the present moment, and that's not true. The popular version of mindfulness out there does not just do that. What it does is it uses the Buddhist practice of breathing meditation, the meditation practice of breathing, in order to bring about that focus on the present moment. So it's not really entirely innocent there. And that's why mm-hmm. we have lawyers now at the American Center of Law and Justice who are coming out with, they're actually going to the schools and warning them, you can't be teaching this kind of stuff because of the Buddhism. But they think that this kind of breathing is going to bring you relaxation and it's going to be like the panacea for all stress. And that's mm-hmm. it's just not true. It isn't true at all.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Mom.
That's okay. You go ahead, honey.
Well, this idea of mindfulness, like I hear that a lot in different places, but I'm not really sure, you know, what that's all about and how it differs from meditation. Because there's prayer meditation that's okay. And then there's other meditation that we know is rooted in something else.
Absolutely. That's such a great question, Thea. Thank you so much for that. It's, yeah, in the Eastern world, meditation doesn't mean prayer. That's what it means in the West. To us, it's to pray. But in the East, it's a mental exercise. And that mental exercise is designed to bring about an altered state in order to facilitate enlightenment. That's exactly what they do over there. And what we have is coming into the United States here with the big popular mindfulness movement that's out there right now, is they're teaching people this and telling them, hey, it's okay to do it, and it's going to bring about all kinds of peace and calm, but it certainly is not. And in fact, we're going to be having a webinar, a three-part webinar. It's going to start next week, and it's called Beyond Mindfulness, From Peace of Mind to Peace of Soul. And if there wasn't a perfect time for that webinar, it's right now. Though we didn't know this. We were planning this back in November. We had no idea that we were going to be now locked down, you know, out of work, bedecked in face masks, you know, standing in line in supermarkets. We did not know that this was going to happen. And I'll tell you, if you really go beyond this mindfulness where you're just really sitting there focused on your breathing and on the present moment, and what they do is you have an emotion or of some kind, and it you're supposed to just acknowledge it and then let it go. But what we're going to learn through this webinar, we're going to have two mental health experts with us. We're going to have Sue Bars with us, and she is a licensed professional counselor. She's a marriage family therapist, and she has worked extensively in the field of counseling, and she focuses her work on the integration of Christian anthropology and St. Thomas Aquinas with the treatment of various disorders. And the other one who's going to be with us is Allison Ricciardi, and she's the founder of CatholicTherapist.com, which a lot of people I'm sure might be familiar with that. She is also going to be with us to try to tell us that there's a lot of fragmentation that occurs in this Buddhist version of just acknowledging that emotion and letting it go. There's a better way to confront and manage our emotions in order to find peace in the moment. And if you really want to have that, instead of just acknowledging our emotions and then moving on, as the Buddhist version does, you need to learn how to let your emotions be guided by reason. The whole self has to be involved. If you really want to have true peace of mind, that's only going to be able to come from a soul that's at peace. So if the underlying state of soul is not addressed, there is no psychological method on earth that's going to offer you a lasting effect. You might have a momentary peace, but it's not going to stick around. It doesn't. And a lot of people who've been through mindfulness therapy will tell you that. Within a year, all their problems were back again. Because it doesn't go deep enough.
833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Our guest today, as she is with us every Wednesday, Sue Brinkman, talking about mindfulness today here, based on the question that came in from my daughter, Thea, in Davie, Florida. And, you know, this is one of the things that concerns me so much, is this. And that is that it's a type of syncretism. And syncretism is a heresy that says that you take traditions and spiritual ways of thinking and philosophies and theologies from varieties of different religions, and you blend them all together, and you're in a syncretistic way point of view or worldview. You're not holding on to any one of them. So when we look at these things like mindfulness, when we look at some of these attempts to Christianize yoga or, you know, Christian Zen, those are two oxymorons, you know, Christian yoga and Christian Zen. This is what we're seeing happening. And that's why we speak about it so strongly. And there are spiritual realities that are attached to these things that can really begin to interrupt and diminish our own concept of who God is, our Christian worldview. So this whole influx of things like mindfulness, et cetera, and the way in which some members of the psychological community have glommed onto these and tried to make them a practice that is devoid of their underpinnings is troubling, because you cannot make them devoid of their underpinnings, and you cannot in some way make something that isn't Christian, Christian.
Mm-hmm. And it seems what happens is, then you start exercising these different techniques and it starts to get all kind of mixed up and confused within your soul. And you don't even realize, a lot of people, that they're engaging in something that is not of the faith, or in a completely different faith, or an Eastern Oriental mysticism. And then those wounds and those things that they're trying to heal become very complicated. There's a lot then to fish through to get back to the root and back to the truth.
Well, that's right. And, you know, and if I may say, you know, hats off to my granddaughter, Julia, for her gift of discernment and acting on it and asking you about it. You know, so many people, I think, are concerned about it. And it's important that we maintain that kind of communication with our children so they can share with us. But it's also important that we be informed parents. And this webinar that's coming up, I think, is going to help a lot of people to become more informed on this whole mindfulness issue, which really is taking both the psychological community and our school systems and many, many of just our cultural kinds of activities by storm. So is a very important matter that I think we're going to be addressing. And I just want to give you all information about that. Womenofgrace.com is where you can go to find out more about it. If you go out to womenofgrace.com, you're going to see that we've got a slideshow for you there. And you can just click on the slideshow that is promoting this event. It is the very first one. When you go out there, you're going to get it. That slideshow is actually a hyperlink. You click on that, it's going to take you to a landing page that will give you the information that Sue is going over with us, who the speakers are, a little bit about those speakers, a little bit about what this, you know, I'm calling it a mini conference, really, because it's a three-parter. It's going to be three Tuesdays in a row, beginning April the 14th, following the next will be the 21st, and then the 28th. And you have the opportunity to get out there and to join us there. There's a register online feature. And it's a good thing to do. It's a very helpful thing to do. And, you know, this is following, you know, Easter. And so it reminds us of the fact that, you know, this is part of our mystagogia, this entering into the truth who is our Lord Jesus Christ. One way is by not falling victim to the counterfeits. What do you say, Sue?
Oh, absolutely. You got to be very, very much on guard because you've got a lot of this mixing going on here. Like you were talking about the syncretism. That's really very prevalent right now. You know, the yoga, the mindfulness, the meditation, everything, they're just trying to blend the two together. And they don't mesh. And the reason they don't is they both go in opposite directions. In the East, like I was saying, all of their meditation is designed for your enlightenment. So what does that mean? It means the direction is going inward to yourself. Whereas in the Christian prayer, our prayer is always a dialogue with God. So it's always going up toward God. And when we find ourselves and we find our enlightenment, the Christian finds it in God. We find ourselves in Him
and
not the way they're talking, where you just, you know, discover your own inner divinity, that you yourself are God.
Yeah.
That's really what that whole enlightenment is all about.
You know, it was interesting, and just by way of anecdotal information here, I was going through some papers, and for people that do the kinds of things that you do, Sue, and that I do, we collect paper. I don't know how it looks at your house, but, you know, I've got these lovely baskets, you know, that are just filled with papers and all kinds of things, you know, on a variety of different topics that I've collected over the years, because we have occasion to use them. And so here I was, and I was going through some things, and I found, and I was so delighted to find them, I found all of my original resources on the New Age movement going back to 1992. 1990 is when I really began to dig into this stuff, but going all the way back there, and many of these documents are really kind of priceless because they incorporate letters from individuals that we're trying to show a direct line to trying to combine Buddhist practices with Christian prayer. And golly gee, you know, I said, boy, this is really important information here. And so what we're seeing with this mindfulness doesn't have roots, you know, just that have been, you know, newly implanted. But these roots go back a good deal. They go all the way back to the centering prayer movement that began, I guess probably in the late 80s, where there was a deliberate attempt. I've got the proof of this. The deliberate attempt to combine, you know, Buddhist practices with Christian meditation, thinking that maybe some of these ways would lead to deeper contemplation. But we know that there's no methodology for contemplation, that infused contemplation is a gift of God. We can acquire it through opening ourselves in receptivity and entering into prayer as it is taught to us to pray. But then, you know, God comes along through the Holy Spirit and does whatever it is that He wants to do. We can't twist the hand of God to give us something. And mindfulness to me is another attempt, I think, to try to get to these kinds of states that are supposed to be the cure-all, end-all for, you know, spiritual aridity or for psychological or emotional distress.
Oh, absolutely. And I think a lot of this started back in those days, or actually even earlier than that, with Nostra Aetate, the Declaration on the Relationship of the Church to Non-Christian Religions, that Vatican II document. It got all distorted. You know, people were saying, even though it says in the document, the Catholic Church rejects nothing that is true and holy in these religions because it believes They do that because it believes that other religions often reflect a ray of the truth which enlightens all men. But what's often ignored is that a reflection of a ray is not truth
that
is directly from the source.
Or the totality of truth.
It's only a reflection of the source.
Right.
And when it comes to prayer, Cardinal Ratzinger, at the time Cardinal Ratzinger, he says that in his document, Letter to the Bishops on Some Aspects of Christian Meditation, that when it comes to prayer, you can adopt what's good from other religions. Listen to this. So long as the Christian conception of prayer, its logic and requirements are not obscured. And what did we just say was the object of Christian prayer is, of course, dialogue with God. It's to go to God.
Yes.
Now, the Buddhist and the Hindu meditation techniques don't do that. They go in the opposite direction. So this is why it doesn't mesh with it, and you're not supposed to adopt it into your prayer life. The Church does not give you, through that Vatican II document, does not give you permission to do that.
No.
At all, they don't do it. But that's been a misrepresentation of that document and actually just a partial reading of it. Because really what we're supposed to be doing is we recognize the beauty in other religions, and we have to respect that. Of course we do that. But we know we also want to bring people to Christ. And that's our main mission, is to bring them to Christ. So, there's a lot of reasons why this started to happen. It's sort of like the perfect storm in the last 30 or 40 years. But I think that it's important that we understand that the Church is not telling you to just freely adopt Eastern techniques into your prayer life. They're not telling you that at all.
No. And
because those techniques don't jive with ours.
Yeah, and it's rather interesting to see where the proponents of these kinds of things have ended up. We have enough history now that can be tracked. And it wasn't in good places, you know. So it behooves us to not allow ourselves to become enchanted or marketed to by these kinds of modalities and these kinds of methodologies. We have to just stick to that which is tried and true, to the way in which we know God reveals himself to us. The way in which, we started off with the psalm today, the way in which Scripture leads us, the way in which Holy Mother Church has led us through the centuries, through millennia here. I think that this is going to be an exceptionally wonderful mini conference through a webinar series for all of you. So we invite you to get out there and to check it out. Any questions that you might have related to the topic today, we're coming down to towards the end of the show here. But we do invite you to call 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us today. And we have Jean out there on Facebook. She says, what about Tai Chi?
Oh, Tai Chi, yeah. Tai Chi is, that is a form of exercise that helps the flow of an alleged vital energy or life force that's called Qi or Chi, okay? And it supposedly regulates the person's body, mind, and spirit. That's their belief. And Qi has to be able to move freely for good health. And Tai Chi, what they do is they aim to, with these different motions, they imitate motions found in nature, such as the movements of animals. So it's not like yoga where the asanas are positions of worship to Hindu gods. Tai Chi does not have that element in it. They're really imitating positions of animals, the different ways that the animals move. But it is based on that belief in yin-yang. It's supposedly Tai Chi helps to harmonize your yin-yang. And that's believed to be two opposite and complementary forces in the universe. These are very pantheistic beliefs that this is based upon.
Yes.
So that's really what Tai Chi is. And if you want to learn, that usually people do that for balance. It's very popular with the elderly to help them to keep their balance. But you don't need that. There's plenty of other exercises. You don't have to do Tai Chi to do better exercises. There's all kinds of isometric different practices that you can do. That eccentrics is one of them, too, that does not have any element, really, of the East in it, that you can do that will help you to stay balanced, help you to strengthen your core, which is part of helping to keep you stable. There's many, many things you can do. You don't have to do Tai Chi. It's just because it's from the East, it's very popular, and, you know, everything from the East right now, it just seems to be enchanting us. And even though it's, you know, based on things that really are not very Christian at all. You know, if that doesn't bother you, but, you know, a lot of people it does.
Well, you know, my feeling about all of this is very simple, really. You stay with the tried and true methods. They are not tied to philosophies. Stay with the teachings of the church. Stay with sacred scripture when it comes to your life in Christ Jesus. That's where the fullness of truth will be found. It's been great being with all of you today. Sue, thank you very much for being with us. We're looking forward to being with you again. We certainly do want to wish you a blessed and holy Triduum. We're looking forward to being with you at this webinar series, this mini conference, womenofgrace.com. Sign up. God bless you now. Bye-bye.